Guys, you can grab a seat if you would like to. And I want to say welcome to Level 13. My name is Heath, my wife Haley. Here we are just honored to get to be with you this morning. And I want to say a special thank you to everyone who has been whirling us around the city all weekend. It is a beautiful, beautiful city, and you all have done an incredible job of representing your city well. So thank you for that. We have eaten well, we have seen some beautiful places, and we've eaten well again, and eaten again. And it's been a great, great weekend. So thank you for allowing us to be here with you. We are excited today about what God's doing at Level 13 and what God, I believe, wants to do this morning. So we're going to have a conversation today looking at this letter that a guy named Paul wrote to a group of Jesus followers in the Colossian church. So Paul was kind of an influential early church leader. He traveled around, he told people about Jesus, he started churches, he placed pastors in churches, and he wrote letters. And many of his letters ended up in what we call our New Testament, the Bible. And this particular letter is the letter to the Colossian church. So it's the book of Colossians in our Bibles. We're going to land there for just a few minutes this morning. But before we go there, I need to ask a question. So if we woke up tomorrow morning, Monday, and we lost all ability to go to the grocery store or to go to a restaurant, and we had to produce, grow our own food, how successful would we be? How many people in the room would be able to provide for your family over the course of just a few months? You could have some food growing and ready to go. Just 2, 3, 4, just a handful of people, right? Okay, I am not in that category at all. In fact, Haley and I love the idea of growing things. We love the idea of having fruits and vegetables and those kinds of things, flowers to make things look beautiful, but our home is where plants and everything that falls into that category come to die. We've killed a cactus. And if a cactus can live in the desert and it can survive, but it can't survive at my house, there's a problem there. So I am so thankful that God didn't call me to be a farmer, because if I did, my whole family would starve. It wouldn't be pretty. I would not be allowed back in the house at all. So, but what does that have to do with this letter to the Colossian Christians? Did Paul write something about us being farmers? Thankfully, no. But he did write something about us having to grow something. And in fact, what he called us to grow and the command that he gives to us is that we need to grow in our relationship with God. That we need to constantly be growing and becoming more and more like Jesus. And so we're going to take a look at two verses of Scripture in Colossians chapter 2. So if you've got a Bible, I want to encourage you to pull it out. If not, we'll have it on the screens for you as well. But we're also going to jump to Mark chapter 4 in just a little bit. So if you want to put a note there or just follow along on the screen, you can do that as well. But in Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6, we're going to look in the New Living Translation. Here's what it says. "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." So Paul, from the beginning, is writing to believers. He's not writing to someone who is yet to put their faith in Jesus. So he's talking to people who claim the name of Jesus. So since you've believed in him, you must continue to follow him. He says this in verse 7, the first portion. He says, "Let your roots grow down in him, and let your life be built on him." Let your roots grow down into Jesus. Since you've decided to become a Jesus follower, let your roots grow deep into him. And as I read that, I started thinking, okay, but what does that really mean? What does it mean to allow my roots to grow down into Jesus? That is a foreign concept to someone who can't keep a cactus alive. So I decided I would do a little bit of research with someone who knows what they're talking about. So I went to this website, Bonnie's Plants, one of the most well-known plant companies in the States. Every year they send seed and plants to homes and businesses for sale and all these different things. And so I did a Google search on their website, and what's the big deal about plants and their roots? And this, I thought this was really intriguing. Here's what I found. It says, "What happens underground where the plant roots live drives plant growth. And then the second portion of it is this: the bigger and the healthier the root system, the bigger and healthier the plant. Now, for someone who understands how to grow things and you're really good at it, you're like, yeah, that's pretty simple. But for someone who doesn't know anything about growing things, that was awesome for me to see. I was like, man, that is so cool. Everything that I see above the ground, everything I see above the surface is dependent upon and is a representation of all the things that are happening underneath. The things that I can't see affect the things that I can. I read this and I immediately thought of Jesus teaching this parable in Mark chapter 4. He tells the story of a farmer who's going out to scatter seed. He says, there was this farmer and he's walking out and he has a bag of seed across his shoulder. And as he's walking, some of these seed just fall out of the bag onto the path as he walks. And the birds of the air swoop in and they eat the seed. And so nothing happens. There's nothing that's produced. And he says he continues walking. And in verse 5, this is what he says about it. He says, other seed fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. Some translations say it was just very just rocky, just hilly, just not very good ground. And the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. In verse 6, it says this, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. And it's interesting that Jesus himself said the reason that this plant was not able to sustain life was because it didn't have deep roots. Both Paul and Jesus make mention of roots and how important they are in the life of a believer. But what do these deep roots do? Jesus' statement was that this plant didn't have deep roots, and so as soon as some external circumstance began to affect it, then they died. They didn't have anything to hold on to. And so I started searching on the Bonnie's Plant website again and read that roots for a plant serve as an anchor. They hold the plant in place when storms come, when winds blow, when rains come. It holds it in place so that it's not cast about all over with everything on the outside. But roots also provide nutrients and water to those. The roots provide that for the plants. It gives the plant everything it needs to thrive, to grow, to survive, to become fruitful. In the life of a follower of Jesus, when we allow our roots to grow deep in Him, we also have an anchor. An anchor that says when life happens, because let's be honest, life's going to happen. Jesus didn't say, come to me and you'll never have another problem. In fact, he said the opposite. He said, realize this, the world that we live in, you're going to have trouble. There are going to be problems. There will be difficulties. Life's going to happen. There'll be a sickness that you didn't expect. You might lose a job. Someone in your family could get hurt. There may be something that takes place in your life, past trauma, relational difficulties. There's going to be things that happen in our lives. But be encouraged. Don't let it freak you out. Don't let it get you down because I've already overcome the world. So having deep roots and being anchored in Jesus doesn't keep us from those difficulties. But being rooted in Jesus and anchored in Him keeps those things from pulling us out and sending us all over the place. It keeps us stationed and rooted and grounded in Him. But just like the roots of a plant give nutrients to a plant so that they can grow, staying deeply rooted in Jesus gives us the things that we need to grow and thrive to become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. See, it's when we stay rooted in Jesus, when we allow those roots to go down deep into Him, that the Holy Spirit can begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all of those things that naturally seem so hard. But the more we stay rooted in Jesus, the more the Spirit has the ability to develop those fruit in our lives, to bring them to pass. Not so that we can gain glory for ourselves, but so that Jesus can be made famous in the places that we go. Well, that's great. It's awesome to know that deep roots are important, but how do we grow them? How do we make that happen? Does it just randomly take place because we say yes to Jesus? Well, the answer is no. What we need to understand from the very beginning is this: growing deep roots is intentional. It's not accidental. Growing deep roots requires us to make some concerted effort to see it happen. In fact, if we look back at Colossians chapter 2, verse 7, that very first word in that chapter, in that verse, says, "Let your roots grow deep in him." That indicates to us that we have a part to play, that you and I must make a decision, a conscious decision, an intentional decision to let those roots grow deep. Now, so what do we do for those roots to grow deep? Well, in Mark 4:20, Jesus says that the seed that fell on the good soil, it produced, it grew, it was able to thrive and produce a harvest, some 30, 60, and even 100 times more than was expected. So that soil was the right kind of soil for that seed to develop and grow. But if we back up into verse 18, he gives us an insight into what kind of soil isn't really good for that seed to grow. Verse 18 of chapter 4 says this: "The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word." And then in verse 19, catch these words: "But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of life, by the lure of wealth and the desire for other things." And then Jesus ends it by saying this: "So no fruit is produced." So he tells us in that very parable that a heart that's crowded out and takes Jesus out of priority, at first place in its life, it's not good soil. It's not soil that's conducive to see the Holy Spirit begin to grow and develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. It's not a heart that's ready to have deep roots that will grow and will be anchored and will flourish and thrive and produce what we're called to produce, which is to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. So what do we do? Remember, we said growing deep roots is intentional. It's not accidental. So the heart that is ready, the heart that is the right kind of soil to grow deep roots, is a heart that is fully committed to Jesus. A heart that is willing to say yes to Jesus, not just once or twice a week, but every single day. A heart that's willing to say, "You're so important to me, God, I'm going to get up maybe a little bit early and I'm going to spend some time in your word, because I need to know what your word tells me." It's a heart that says, "God, you're so important to me that I'm going to get up a little bit early and I'm going to spend some time in prayer because I need to talk to you and I need to hear your voice talk to me." It's a heart that says, "Man, we've got an awesome band. They are phenomenal. But I can't just worship on Sunday. I need to worship every day. I need to find a playlist or some music or something that I can just get alone and can kind of quiet my heart and my spirit, and I can spend some time with Jesus, and I can just close my eyes and lift my hands and cry and maybe fall on my face," or however it is that you worship. I'm not telling you there's a certain way, however it's comfortable for you to worship, but we spend some time worshiping every single day. And we find a group of people who are pursuing Jesus, and we lock arms and we walk with them and we go with them and we do life together, because that's the important thing. Because together, we can pick one another up. When I begin to fall and I look good, then they're right there with me and they're picking me up. But when I start to slip and I look not so good, they're there to say, "Hey, you don't look very good. Come on, let's go." They're there to pick me up. And I know that's a little bit intimidating for some of us. I'm an introvert by nature. And so I get it. It's hard to connect in a group sometimes when you're a little bit shy, but I promise it is so important. It's so life-giving because the reality is this. There are moments that we're going to have other people who come alongside us, walk with us arm in arm, and sometimes they're going to actually have to kick us in the butt because we're not doing it the right way. You know, we're kind of going back and we're allowing the cares of life or the lure of wealth or other distractions to come in and move Jesus out of that first place in our heart. And if we give people an opportunity to do life with us and see us in that moment, we give them the freedom to come up to us and say, hey, what's wrong with you? I mean, we were walking with Jesus together. We were pursuing Jesus together. Let's go. Let's keep doing this. Don't lose focus. Let's keep our hearts the right kind of soil so that we can grow deep roots and we can become what Jesus has called us to be, which is fully devoted followers, people who make a difference for the kingdom, not so they can say that, hey, we're really good Christian people, but so that we can say we have a good God who loves us and pursues us and wants to save the world. Growing deep roots. It's intentional. It's not accidental. We can't just experience salvation and sit down and say, okay, Jesus, send it to me. I need deep roots. It doesn't work that way. See, he wants us to grow. But we have a part to play. We must be actively pursuing him on a daily basis. As awesome as level 13 is, one day a week is not enough to grow deep roots. As long as we have been following Jesus, what happened in our past isn't enough to grow deep roots. It's a daily walk. It's a daily walk. So like I said, I'm not good at growing things. I'm very thankful that I'm not a farmer. I would be the poorest man alive. And my family would probably be living on the streets. But he did call me to grow. He called all of us to grow. Not so that we can look good, so that we can make him look good. Something that I like to say to our students all the time is, everywhere we go, our job is to make Jesus famous. And they'll push back, well, Jesus is already famous. Everybody knows who he is. Well, to make someone famous is to make them recognizable. Everywhere we go, we should be making Jesus recognizable. And if we don't let those roots grow down deep, we can't do that. So here's my prayer this morning. Here's two things that I want to make mention of before the band comes back. First, maybe there are some people in the room who we can't grow deep roots because honestly, we don't have a relationship with Jesus in the first place. So we can't grow something that hasn't been deposited. We can't grow roots from something if there's nothing there. There's no super special prayer. There's no secret handshake. No secret society initiation or anything like that. It's simply saying, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. He tells us in his word that there's this standard. And every single person who has ever lived has fallen short with the exception of one person. And that is Jesus himself. And there's nothing that we can do to bridge that gap. There's nothing that we can do to make that gap up. And so Jesus made up the gap for us through his death and resurrection. And if we surrender to him and we say, Jesus, I need you. Save me. We know from his word that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to wash us clean, to give us a new life, a fresh start with him. And if there's anyone in the room this morning who you haven't made that decision, when we play this last song, I want to encourage you to come for prayer. Maybe there are others who are in the room and could say, you know what, I've made that decision to follow Jesus, and that's so awesome. But saying yes to Jesus is never the end. It's only the beginning. It's the beginning of a journey, and it's the beginning of a daily walk where every single day we need to let those roots grow deep. Maybe life has happened. Maybe there have been some difficulties. Maybe there's been some unforgiveness or some bitterness. Maybe there's been this trauma that's taken place, and it cuts deep and it hurts. And we've just got our focus off of Jesus. We're not walking away from him, but we've let other things crowd him out. Today would be an amazing day to put him back first place. I'm going to pray, and as the band comes, they're going to lead us in a final song. And if there's anyone here who falls into either of those two categories, I want to personally invite you to come. You don't have to pray at the altar. There's nothing super special about coming to the front to pray. You can pray where we're seated. But know this, if you want somebody to pray with you, I would be honored to get to do that. We have people in this church who would love to pray with you. Nobody's going to judge you. Nobody's going to look at you funny. Just want everybody here to know Jesus and to grow and become a fully devoted follower of his. So let me pray for us. Jesus, you are so awesome. Thank you that you made a way where there was no way, that you made a way of salvation that you offered to all of us through your own body and blood, so that we can come to know you. And I pray, Lord, if there is one in this room who doesn't know you today, that today would be the day of salvation, that today they would say yes to you. Father, if there are those in the room who have said yes to you but have begun to allow life to just crowd out that place of priority in their hearts for you, I pray that today would be a day of repentance and a coming back to you and realigning those priorities. Holy Spirit, would you fall in this place and do what only you can do, so that we can make the name of Jesus famous in Fort Wayne and beyond. Father, we love you, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray this. Amen.